afternoon to you. I'm Al Cresta. There's no doubt that Mother Angelica has been arguably one of the U.S., actually the globe's leading religious in her formation of EWTN, the world's largest religious media apostolate, is only one aspect of her incredible life. She was also an outstanding communicator and writer on the spiritual life. She's the founder of a religious order. And so many things could be said about Mother's contribution to helping stabilize Catholics in America after the Second Vatican Council. EWTN has just published Mother Angelica's Guide to the Spiritual Life. It's a very warm, clear, and at times humorous presentation of how we can, again, stay in union with Christ and eventually join him with full manifestation of the kingdom in heaven. With me right now to talk about the book, the new book, Mother Angelica's Guide to the Spiritual Life, is Doug Keck, longtime friend of Mother Angelica, president and COO of EWTM. And it's good to have you with me, Doug. Thanks.
I appreciate you asking me to be on, especially always great to talk about Mother Angelica.
Yeah, this book has her touch to it, you know. A lot of, I'm not sure how the editing went about, but it's really...
Right.
And it feels like her, you know?
Right. Absolutely. Well, it is her because it's really taken from transcripts of particular shows she did where they called the particular topics having to do with spirituality. And Father Joseph and I just did an interview on this about a week or so ago. And I think it's posted online and the bookmark brief is out there as well. But both of us independently thought this was one of the best one of the series that we put out.
Yeah.
Both of us really... enjoyed reading it and found some great things in it. I know you even talked about Mother's humor, which is historical, but in the sense that everybody who's watched the show knows it's true. There was one great line that says, "Today we live in a society that has taught us to be soft. There's no challenge anymore. There's no guts in anything. That's the eighth gift of the Holy Spirit, guts."
Now that's great. And that really does sound like her. Yeah, there's another, in fact, same area where she's asked the question, you know, Mother, what will you do if this television ministry you've begun flops?
Right.
And her response is, well, I'll have the most lit-up garage in the world.
Absolutely. Right, exactly. And that's a great lesson that Mother portrays for us all, which is not that she was always assuming things would succeed. Her goal was always to go forward with one foot in the air and a queasy feeling in your stomach and say, okay, Lord, I think this is what you want me to do. I'll do the best I can, and we'll see how it turns out. But the great thing for Mother was not to be embarrassed when something didn't work out, but instead to say, okay, maybe the Lord has a different path for where we're going to go.
Yeah. And it's funny because in today's culture, one of the things, especially with younger people, I think, one of the things you want to avoid at all costs is embarrassment, you know, being somehow thought to have failed in the eyes of the world.
Right, exactly. And I think that's one of the problems. And that's pride, ultimately. I mean, ultimately it comes from our original sin, pride. Nobody wants to be embarrassed. Nobody wants to be made to look bad. All of us want to be cool. We have good Facebook pictures and, you know, we put the right filter on and make sure we present ourselves in the most attractive way possible, because we were afraid to be vulnerable. And I think that's where we also run into where people's fear of commitment and other things today and the loss of the idea of becoming, in a sense, a fool for Christ or a fool for Jesus to say, you know, as Mother even said in this particular book, it was an interesting line, she talked about the idea that you must also be afraid to question your faith. When you question what you're doing or what God is doing in your life, that's okay. It's okay to wonder, to think, to ask the Lord, are you sure this is, you know, there's a great prayer that I know many of us have said, I've said many, Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, I don't understand everything. I trust you, but I could use a little more edification here.
Yeah.
That would be helpful for my stomach, as Mother would say.
Yeah. And the first chapter is titled, Faith is a Struggle.
Right.
That's a good place to begin, because there's no attempt. She made no attempt to look at the world through rose-colored glasses. She knew struggle was part of growth in faith. There's another statement here too that I'm looking for right now. But It's to this effect. This is how it lodged in my head. She said people are more willing to be safe than holy. They prefer safety rather than sanctity. But holiness has a risk to it, and I think this means the willingness to step out right. out of your comfort zone and to heed what you believe the Lord is saying.
And one of the things I think that to follow up what you were saying about stepping out as well was, Mother said, in your life, you've got to give God a chance. You've got to give Jesus the opportunity to do the miraculous in your life. As I love to say, if you're not willing to do the ridiculous, God will not do the miraculous. If you can't do the ridiculous, you've convinced yourself God can't do it, but he can.
Right. Right. Yeah, this is the kind of example that we need, and which is so well represented in this book. You know, she was also, being a woman religious and leader of a religious order, she gave a lot of thought to prayer. She prayed a lot, but she also gave a lot of thought to prayer. There's a chapter in the book on four stages of prayer, which shows, again, what you would expect, great insight into this particular area of our life, which should become characteristic of the way we live. I know when I was younger, I prayed less than I pray now. And I think part of it is when I was younger, I thought I was more self-sufficient.
Right.
And I know better now, especially as I've gotten a little bit older and don't have quite the energy I once did. And so you find yourselves more, I find myself anyways, more willing to kind of pray to rest in the confidence that God is there. And that's the first level of prayer, is to find that strength in God.
Right, exactly. And I think, as you said, experience teaches you that you can't do it on your own, that the society around you that tells you you can if you just try hard enough, and
right.
if you just believe, and if you're just positive enough. Now, some of those things are helpful in your everyday life and accomplishing. There's nobody saying that that can't help you. But it's not the ultimate solution
right.
that you need. You need to have that relationship with our Lord that gives you that peace that surpasses all understanding and gives you that peace so when the bad times come, you can weather the storm, that you have that house built on the rock and not the house built on the changing sands of society.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a chapter in here on accepting suffering, something that she learned, really, it seems, throughout her life. Her life seemed to have been characterized by from the outside,
yes.
looking in, a disproportionate amount of suffering, you know?
It was. She was definitely a suffering servant in that way, absolutely. In fact, to point that out, I would just jump into that where he said, the people in the early church were not converted by sermons. They were converted by the joy of the Christians, by their ability to suffer.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah. Yeah, this is, I think one of the reasons that's so powerful as a way of demonstrating the reality of the faith is because when we suffer, the one thing we are most aware of is we want to get out of it. We want to get out right. of suffering. And so when the world watches Christians readily embrace suffering, not because they like suffering, but because it's necessary to be faithful to Christ.
Right.
The world is amazed at that, because what we're saying is that we know that suffering is not just something that has to be endured, but that suffering itself can be fruitful, and
right.
that it
and
leads
that,
to
right,
Christ.
That, right, and that redemptive suffering inside of Catholicism, you know, that idea that this isn't wasted, you're not a masochist. Because I'd like to suffer. As Mother said, there's nothing wrong with asking the Lord to take your suffering away from you, but at the same time realize, like St. Paul, who asked to have, his thorn in his side taken away several times, that sometimes the Lord doesn't do that,
right.
and maybe sometimes that's ultimately for your particular benefit, or to benefit for other souls who might be benefited by the fact of how you handle your suffering. Like you said, from the book, if you see other people suffer, you say, what's going on in that person's life? How are they able to deal with this,
mm-hmm.
all this tragedy in their life without having it, you know, just tear them apart. And, well, that's a great sign of faith. That's a great witness to somebody. You know, how many wonderful senior citizens and people watch EWTN or Homebound, and they watch the Mass and they pray, and their relatives go and say, gee, they watch the Mass and they get so much out of it, and they're so peaceful, and when the final time comes, they seem to have this peace,
right?
And this lack of fear. They're ready to go. And I'm grasping on to everything I can. I'm, doing this diet and this thing. I'm on my Peloton, and I'm changing, getting my hair done, and I'm trying to look, the 70s, the new 35 or whatever.
Right.
And a lot of that, I think, is people because they're afraid of dying.
Yeah.
They're because they don't have that to hold on to.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And this is something that, life ultimately in this world ends in death. And so if you ever want to think about being really successful in life, the question is, how are you going to face death? Right. And nobody has taught us how to do that better than the Lord Jesus himself. And Mother never lets us forget that there's something beyond this world.
And we're all called to be holy.
Amen.
Say.
Yep. Yep. Well, Doug, thanks. Good talking with you again.
Thank you.
We'll get together soon.
Thanks, Al.
Doug Keck, Chief Operating Officer of EWTN, Mother Angelica's Guide to the Spiritual Life. Yeah, we have a whole series of books on, Mother Angelica's talks and comments and thoughts. This is, I think, I agree with Doug, I think it's the best.